What I think can be stated is that a person who has had the exposure finds himself greatly enriched in understanding particularly the narrative parts of Tanakh, and that exposure often greatly expedites the awareness of that which one sees does not always fully perceive. There is a great deal of the Midrashim, extremely bold, great deal of the Midrashim, which one person will see and another will not see. And while to be sure, one would not for a moment countenance that study of the humanities to be the central element of personal education, certainly the Torah deserves life, focus, grounded in Torah. But if we're speaking of an additional dimension, that which can go along with it and enrich it, that indeed exists. A person has a slice of bread, wants butter to go with it. We were not going to suggest him that instead of the butter, you need two slices of butter. Now I know, to some extent, I speak out of my own experience. And that I neither have the right nor the inclination to suggest that experience is inherently universal. And it's entirely conceivable that on the one hand, some of the insights which I feel I have gotten with respect to Torah proper out of the humanities could be just as readily attained by others independently of them. And contrarily, that exposure to them may for some provide no illumination of insight whatsoever. But I can only speak from that perspective, suggesting that indeed such a contribution can, in my mind, does exist. And to some extent, with the light of the Mare Nida, in the name of the Mishalevai Sachedish Yavri Yori El Mishalev, the person who is not had the exposure of these spirits, perhaps less qualified to judge what it might be than a person who has. But to be sure, the course which I've been discussing is fraught with significant difficulties. For one thing, the humanities themselves are not all that which I described. First, my own experience, exposure has been primarily to the central literary classical tradition, which has been first essentially humanistic, and secondly, till relatively recent times, religious. That, of course, is not true for much more recent literature. Second, the world of humanities has been to a great extent affected, some would say infected, by the influence of the sciences, by specialization, has itself become a kind of technical area not so fully concerned with the values for which presumably discipline exists, but with the discipline itself. A kind of overlay of scholarship, which at times deadens the presumably vivifying influences of the material which is being studied. Over a century ago, Browning put into the mouth of his grammarian at Grammarian's funeral the statement, perhaps part lament, "Grant I have mastered learning's crabbed text, it is still the comment." And of course, since then, the comment has proliferated out of all proportion to the text. And surely, in many instances, one can ask with regard to humanity as with regard to other areas, as Eliot did in one of the courses of the Rock half a century ago, "Where is the wisdom? We have lost the knowledge. Where is the knowledge? We have lost the information." Second, there is of course an inherent problem in dealing with humanities. With respect to just how a person makes a kind of distinction or division. To be dealing with Maise Yadosh and Shbok on the one hand, and Maise Bosov Adam on the other. While I've gone out of my way to present man himself and therefore influence his own creation as part of the Lomash Lachin Shbok, but to the extent that man is invested in Bechira, to that extent, in some sense, that stands apart. The question of possible assertion of man at the expense of God to invert the description once someone was suggested by Jonathan Edwards. That is a clear presentation and a fundamental question to be asked. Those who reject the humanities do so in part because they find that Maise Bosov Adam, that is in of itself presumptuous. Presumptuous to create, presumptuous to study. In this context, one presumably needs to come to grips with the implications of the members which the Rav is always fond of quoting, the Nachum in the beginning of Tazviya, of the Sukh Sarosh Estra Be'akiva. If the Bereshim wanted that man should be Nimel, so why didn't he create him as such? And he asked that he should bring him some grain, some cake, some bread, and he asked him which is better. And of course, the Sufi said, the bread, the cake, that's far more edible than the grain. And the response was, so don't you see that Maise Bosov Adam can be better, so to speak, than Maise Yadosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the implications of that, I don't go into this point, need to be considered carefully. But to read surely those to be aware of the fact that implications for the question of the study of the humanities there surely are. Insofar as we insist that we want Maise HaKadosh Baruch Hu direct, pure and simple, then indeed we should and shall confine our attention to the natural sciences. If we appreciate Maise Bosov Adam, appreciate it if we will, as Maise Yadosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu and another removed, then we shall look with greater sympathy upon humanities. This question in turn hinges upon our view of man, his position cosmically, metaphysically, in general. At another level, the question of universalism. Humanism and universalism have traditionally, historically, to some extent, gone hand in hand, and for understandable reasons. Assessing the role of the humanities with a terror perspective, that question, too, as part of a broader context, needs to be considered. Third, question of the viability and value of humanities has a particular tragic dimension in our own time. One of the most literate men, one of the most cultured men in the Western world, George Steiner, wrote a book some 20 years ago entitled The Language of Silence. And it's a book written under the impact of, with reference to, the Holocaust. In the course of the book, Steiner grapples with the question of medabe, or silence, post-Holocaust, and particularly so with reference to the Ruach Memalala, that literary culture to which he is so almost addicted. Steiner writes there, "We know better, we come after. We know that a man listened to Schubert or Brahms in the evening, read Heine or Schiller, go to his work in the crematorium in the mornings. And without a doubt, that terrible phenomenon does cast a shadow, not only upon German culture in particular. German Yimach Shmoh, of course, one of the bastions of European culture. But a pull, if you will, on humanistic culture in general. That question needs to be asked, needs to be encountered. So surely, there are questions we need to ask ourselves. Even if in the end, as I do, remain with a certain abiding faith in the value of culture, of humanity, properly conceived, properly perceived, and properly taught. But the questions are there, and this evening I have not sought to answer all of them. But to direct myself primarily, trying to establish whatever problems which arise vis-a-vis other elements of a full Torah existence, trying to establish the place of humanities as having inherent value. Pursuing, suggesting any course of action, we ask ourselves, of course, several questions. If a given course is suggested as a means to an end, we ask, is the end in question worthwhile? Does the means indeed serve the end? Is it the best, the most effective means of serving that end? Finally, what are the concomitant side effects, the possible price which is paid, if that means is pursued to that end? All of those questions, for Ben Torah, for Mekayim Torah, need to be asked. What are the proper portions? What is the price? What are the alternatives? The context and seat presentation, I sought primarily to reject, if you will, Philistinism and pragmatism. To stress the importance of a perception of man as a spiritual being, as central to our overall concern in the world of Avodas Hashem. To stress the contribution of the humanities, it's a way of helping us to maintain and enrich and develop our spiritual perception, which lies at the heart of the humanities at their best, and which should lie at the heart of each and every one of us as a Ruach Memalala at his best.
call them Manda Project for those present. We profusely thank Rav Aaron Lipkus and Shalita for revealing words. Learning continues. The next public lecture will take place.